Welcome to Smart Investing, a Money and Me investor education by PGIM India Mutual Fund. In this podcast, we discuss investment options in a way that helps investors understand financial planning and plan their life goals better.
Welcome to Smart Investing, a Money and Me investor education initiative by PGIM India Mutual Fund. In this podcast series, we bring you insight on money management and simplify personal finance to help you build a lifelong skill important to make smart investment decisions. I'm Ahalya, and on today's podcast, we have with us Ravi Samalad from PGIM India Mutual Fund in conversation with Lisa Pallavi Barbora, a financial coach and personal finance expert who's going to help us understand the five steps to build an emergency fund with the help of a very important but lesser used investment tool, debt mutual funds. Over to you.
Thanks, Ahalya, and I'm happy to be hosting the very first episode. And we are kickstarting with something that's more of a pre-investment decision, which is your emergency corpus. So as investors, we are investing for a variety of goals. It could be short-term or long-term. But the pandemic really has brought forth the importance of creating an emergency corpus, you know. So we have with us Lisa, who will help us understand how we can really build this emergency corpus with debt funds. Thanks, Lisa, for joining us. So let me dive straight into the conversation. Lisa, what is an emergency corpus and why is there so much emphasis being placed on this?
Hi, Ravi. Thanks. And I think this is a very relevant discussion to begin the series with. As you rightly said, the importance of the emergency fund has come into focus after the pandemic. What happens is that sometimes in life, events occur which are really beyond our control. It could be an accident that leaves you disabled, an illness which requires hospitalization for a long time. The pandemic, as we know, resulted in a lot of unexpected financial stress. The list is endless. We do live in a time where uncertainty is high and really anything can happen. So that's why we need an emergency corpus, because these emergencies can result in personal financial uncertainty. And this can very easily become an unexpected fall and a cause for huge stress in your life. So that's what an emergency fund is. It can help you cushion this kind of uncertain falls and help you break that fall if certain external out of control events disrupt your financial well-being.
Right. So now that we have discussed the, you know, really the importance of why you should create an emergency corpus. So my next question is, see, all our incomes and expenses, you know, differ. We have like many number of other members in the family. So how much you should really save in an emergency fund? How does one go about deciding it? You can throw some light on that aspect as well.
So honestly speaking, Ravi, there is no one size fits all kind of formula to decide how much that emergency fund corpus should be. But let's look at it a bit logically here, and let's look at what the objective is. What we are saying is keep a financial cushion which will not disrupt your current financial status in the event of an unforeseen emergency-like situation. And at the same time, it should not be that you are pulling out savings from your long-term investments. So both current and future financial stability, you want to disrupt it as little as possible. Ideally, for this to happen, you need to be able to use the emergency corpus to spend on, you know, your daily, monthly, yearly, non-negotiable expenses. This could be like groceries, it could be, you know, fuel, school fees. And, you know, it is an unforeseen event we are talking about here. So, you know, you may not even know how long it will take for you to get out of this emergency. This can be stressful at many levels. So coming to what you asked me about how much to keep aside, as I was saying, there is no formula, but the thumb rule is to have 1 year's critical non-negotiable expenses in the emergency corpus.
Right. So now that we have discussed the, you know, importance and how much really to save for an emergency fund, so how do people, you know, go about investing their emergency fund? Where do they invest? People have so many investment options. So how do they go about zeroing down on where to invest that emergency corpus?
Yeah, so see, first you have to calculate that, you know, the non-negotiable monthly expenses, and then, you know, add on what certain things that you will need, your family will need through the year as well. So once you have calculated that amount, then you start to think about, okay, where do I put it? Now, traditionally, fixed deposits worked well for this purpose. I'm sure, you know, all our parents have had these fixed deposits, and this is what people did to save for their emergency fund. You know, some people prefer opening a separate bank account and shifting money there and using that bank account for emergencies only. However, it can be a little tricky because it has easy access to the money and you may end up spending it even before the emergency actually occurs. So the foremost feature you need to look out for is, of course, capital safety. So you want a low risk option. Secondly, you want, you know, some amount of flexibility to withdraw anytime that emergency springs up without a penalty. And you also want to be able to withdraw in small amounts. You know, it's not necessary that you need the entire lot every time, right? You should be able to take out small amounts. So, you know, other investments which do offer capital safety, like PPF or savings certificate or even real estate for that matter, they don't really fit the bill as far as emergency corpus is concerned. Then other features like transparency, liquidity that you should be able to sell at the market price anytime. And of course, return should also be kept in mind. Right. And as far as return is concerned, we should see that it's, you know, competitive with traditional options like bank fixed deposits, because really that's the lowest hanging fruit. That's where people will go. So at least you need somewhat of a competitive return.
Right.
And really the last thing I want to just say before we move on to the next question that you may have is that you don't need to put all the emergency fund investment in one go. Give yourself 2-3 years to build that corpus of emergency money. And look for these features that we spoke about in a product that can help you actually build it.
Right. So, you know, good you highlighted the aspect of capital preservation, liquidity, as well as, you know, growing your corpus for whatever time frame that you invest in. And I want to bring in, you know, mutual funds in this conversation. So where do debt funds fit into your emergency saving corpus? If you can throw some light on that.
So, yeah, I mean, honestly, debt funds meet all these features that we discussed right now. There are certain types of debt funds which offer capital safety. They offer flexibility, liquidity. They offer, you know, also that competitive return that we spoke about. It is an efficient tool for building your emergency corpus. Without getting into too many technical details, let me try and just explain what a debt fund is for our listeners who may not be sure. Equity funds get a lot of spotlight as compared to debt funds. But it's not that different. Basically, an equity fund lets you invest in a portfolio of stocks, and a debt fund lets you invest in a portfolio of bonds and other similar interest-bearing securities. Now, unlike stocks, bonds come with a limited expiry or maturity, right? I mean, stocks are listed on stock exchange and you can keep trading forever, but a bond will mature. So whatever bond you buy, it could be a 1-year, 2-year, 3-year bond. So bonds have a specific maturity, and debt funds have been created in a way to cater to all these varying maturities. So you can invest for 1 month, 3 months, a year, 3 years, or even 10 years. So it does sound, you know, it does get a bit complicated, but it's important to highlight a few of these things. And the other aspect in bonds is that the issuing company can actually default, right? So you've given them money and they're paying you interest, but something happens and they are not able to pay you that interest. So they can actually default and not even pay you back the principal. So that's why it's important also to check the financial stability of the bond issuer. And this is done very simply because debt funds, the fund itself will come with an what we call a credit rating, which is basically showing you how safe the bond is or what are the chances of default. And the aggregate credit rating, if it is AAA, then it's the highest quality. And the debt fund will print this information in their fact sheet, so you can check that as well. So debt funds come with all those features we spoke about. They come in different maturities, so you can pick for your emergency fund the kind of maturity you want. And also it's important, I wanted to highlight that it's important that you check the quality of the debt fund through the credit rating. So these are some of the things that make debt funds ideal for an emergency corpus. The tax rate, which a lot of people are concerned about, is similar to a fixed deposit. So there's no difference on that front.
Right. So given that, Lisa, we have 16 categories of debt funds in the industry, so it can get very complicated for, you know, investors to choose the right kind of funds to invest their money for emergency. You know, so if you can throw some light on which kind of specific debt funds which investors should look at.
Okay, we must talk about this because, like you rightly said, out of 16 categories, there are debt funds which can be pretty risky as well. And as we mentioned, for an emergency corpus, we want capital safety. Again, a rule of thumb that I'm going to talk about is that the lower the maturity of a bond fund or a debt fund, the higher is the capital safety. So if you're looking at building an emergency fund, understand that you don't want a very high maturity debt fund. The lower the maturity, the higher the capital safety. What you are looking for are these four types of debt funds. These four types will help you in creating an emergency fund: liquid funds, ultra short-term funds, low duration funds, and money market funds. All four types of funds have a portfolio of bonds and similar securities with maturity anywhere between 91 days and 1 year. This low maturity means low risk of losing capital. Mm-hmm. Hence, even though you may not end up using your emergency corpus, see, you can build your emergency corpus and the emergency may not occur for, you know, 5-10 years or ever. So you may not ever use it, but you need a low maturity debt fund so that your capital is not at risk, right? So these four funds help. The difference in returns in these funds is very minimum. And while choosing a scheme, check for, like I mentioned, highest quality, the maturity that you desire. The scheme should not have a very high exit load. Exit load is basically a penalty if you want to exit the scheme. Some of them have an exit load, you know, for a very short period, like a 7-day or a 14-day kind of period to discourage immediate withdrawals. Right. And the annual cost should be, so, you know, there is an embedded expense in every fund. So that embedded expense should be competitive within the category you're looking at. Again, all this information about the exit load, the expense, the maturity, the quality, everything is published in fact sheets that fund houses release every month.
Right. So Lisa, if I could summarize, you know, you spoke about the flexibility to invest and withdraw. You can, you know, withdraw small amounts from debt funds. You can also do SIP and, you know, do lump sum investments, and the kind of transparency that debt funds bring in and the kind of automation which they offer. You can invest through SIP. You know, most investors are also concerned about the aspect of, you know, compounding returns. So if you could throw some light on this aspect as well.
Yeah, so Ravi, that's a very interesting point, because that's one of the advantages that debt funds have over, you know, traditional bank deposits. So like I mentioned earlier, returns are competitive with things like bank deposits, but debt funds score a few extra points because, unlike traditional investments, the money lying in a debt fund continues to earn returns, which is what, you know, compounding is, that it continues to earn returns till you actually withdraw it. A traditional deposit pays out the interest at the end of the term. So if you have a 1 year fixed deposit, it'll pay you the interest. You have to pay tax on that interest. And then if you want to reinvest, then you can do that. But in a debt fund, you don't have to do anything. If you don't want to withdraw money in 1 year, you can just leave the money lying there. And you don't have to, until you withdraw, you don't even have to pay that tax. And the gains remain in the fund. So you keep earning more and more gains as well on your initial investment. If you don't redeem for 3 years, your debt fund investment keeps compounding that return for that period. You know, also there is that advantage, what we said about flexibility. You can withdraw a little bit and the rest of it also remains in the debt fund, earning more interest. The benefit of compounding returns is what makes debt funds very desirable for creating your emergency corpus. And this happens despite similar taxation, because like I explained, in a fixed deposit, the interest is paid out regardless of whether you need it at that point or not. And once it's paid out, you pay tax. But in a debt fund, you don't need to touch it till you actually require the money. And hence, it helps on the taxation front, along with the compounding interest, which continues for as long as you leave the money in.
Right. So I think we have covered a lot of ground here, you know, starting from the importance of an emergency fund, where you should invest, and, you know, why you should invest. If you could, you know, summarize the points of what are really the 4-5 steps that go into creating an emergency fund corpus, that would be great, Lisa.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. So what we can do is just do a quick 5 steps that people can follow to create their emergency fund. First step is to note down all your non-negotiable monthly and annual living expenses. And like we discussed, needn't be the same for everybody. Add them up all together, and that total amount is ideally what you need in your emergency corpus. Some people may choose a lower amount of, say, 6 to 9 months of expenses, but 1 year is really a good period. Now, the second thing you need to do is explore the tools available to you for parking this money. Any option you look for should be low risk, should be flexible, liquid, transparent, low cost. Return is the last criteria and capital safety is the topmost ask. So basis this, you decide where you want to invest, and you will find that debt funds do actually fit this bill well. The third thing we need to do is to select the appropriate debt fund to look for in case of emergency fund. Now, low maturity options with the highest quality, which is a AAA portfolio, low expense ratio, and no exit load. Now, that's what will make the most sense for your emergency fund. The fourth step is to automate this process so you can make regular monthly investments through SIPs into the fund of your choice for an amount that you feel you can set aside every month. Remember, we said that you can take 2-3 years to build that corpus. Don't panic and think that you have to do everything right now. So last step is to give yourself, as I was saying, the 2-3 years to build the corpus and add any lump sums that keep coming up over time. It could be bonuses or something. So add portions of that into your emergency corpus as well, you know, so that you can make sure that you're on track to build the corpus you need as a cushion for emergencies that come up unannounced. So it's that simple.
Thanks, Lisa, for, you know, simplifying the whole, you know, why to save for emergency and where to save for your emergency corpus. And I hope it will help our listeners, you know, understand how to save for emergency and most importantly, where to invest for achieving this goal. So thanks so much. It was a pleasure.
Thanks, Ravi. As we began, we spoke about how uncertain the time is, and there is no better time to start focusing on something like an emergency fund that can help you anytime you need.
And that's a wrap on today's podcast. You're listening to Smart Investing, a Money and Me investor education initiative by PGIM India Mutual Fund.
Mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme-related documents carefully.